so? Boy, I tell you what, why does Jamie love me so? Well, because Jesus loves me so. Amen. Why does Brother Ray love me so? It's because Jesus loves me so. Remember I told you the greatest doctrine in all the Bible? What's the greatest doctrine in all the Bible? Jesus loves me. This I know. Remember I told you the story about that theologian and how he studied and studied and studied. And when asked by that group of students at that Bible college what the greatest doctrine of all of the Bible was, his simple answer was, Jesus loves me, this I know. Luke chapter 12, let's look at verse number 49 as we march through the book of Luke and allow the Word of God to make a difference in our life. Verse 49, and I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. Can you all imagine that? A baptism to be baptized with. This is proof that whenever you see the word baptize in Scripture, it's not water. Did y'all hear me on this? The baptism of water was the Lord Jesus giving it to the believer as a badge, as an identifier. If today you are sitting or wherever you're at and you think that those baptismal waters washed your sin away, you've not been saved. Amen. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In the book of Hebrews, we find out that the Lord Jesus is always better. Believe me, that baptismal water is not special water to wash your sin away. It can barely wash the dirt off your skin. And even then, you got to go get some soap. So why do you think water can wash your sin away? It can't happen. Amen. As I told you at Dad's funeral, and I'll keep bringing stuff up because it comes up, and I want you to be reminded of this. My dad was he was big about the blood of Jesus because of the battles he had to fight when he was first saved. All the family members. My cousin Paul Swanson, we were at Horace Baptist Church and Brother Lynn Croxton was preaching. And that night, Paul went forward to get saved. And I mean, he got saved. Well, right after that, Uncle Steve and Aunt Nancy are there. We had to run up to Lake Ridge Christian Church. I think that was the name of it. I'm trying to remember. Maybe not. Jamie, do you remember? Anyway, Nevin's Christian Church. That's right. Lake Ridge was one by the house. Nevin's Christian Church, which is nothing but a Disciples of Christ or Church of Christ. They're heretics. They believe in salvation by works. As soon as the preacher showed up there, 33 degree Scottish Rite Mason, so he was already a wicked man, being amongst the Masons. This man, they washed up there, and they had to baptize him for the remission of his sin. As garbage. It's not Bible. Water baptism is only mentioned one time in the Scriptures. But there are six others, and we'll not get into them today. But this one here is a baptism of the Lord Jesus. What is that? He immersed himself in the full sacrifice so that you and I could have salvation by grace through faith, that we could have eternal life, not temporary life. Do you understand that the great doctrine is the Lord Jesus loving me, but then all that comes along with it? He not only saves me and washes my sin away, but now the Lord Jesus Christ seals me. Amen. If I wanted to get unsaved, I couldn't. But if you get gloriously saved, you don't want to lose it. That's right. You don't want the Lord Jesus to set you aside. You don't want to go off into eternity not knowing so. And by the way, we all know that after this is the judgment. You do not want to go off into eternity not knowing. I'd rather know that I know on this side so I know that I know on the other side. Listen, friend, it's real. I've heard about death already today. We need to pray for a certain couple families. But it's crazy to me. Death is only a half inch away, friend. You listening? Know that you know. Dad took me out driving on Route 1. And I remember one of the things that caught my attention is what he said was, he said, David, you see where we're at? He said, now don't get on that line. You want to be in the middle of the, you want to be in the middle of the lane, but you definitely don't want to be on the right side of this lane because the way it's shaped, it'll flip you. It's like, wow, Dad, that's a lot to think about. Of course, I already knew that a little bit, but when you hear it, then he said this, by the way, son, you're about 2 to 3 feet away from death when a car comes by. That's why I tell you today, you just a quarter inch. You a half inch from death at all times. Beloved, he mentions to us in this passage that he's come to bring division. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, verse 50. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Isn't that what we talk about at Christmas time? Yeah. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Where there is sin, there is no peace. We want peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. But we still want to live our devilish lives. Peace on earth. The Lord Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but rather division. Oh. Let me read the rest of the passage and you'll understand my heart. Verse 51, suppose ye that I am come. Verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, this morning's idea that for a title, it may be a lack of a title, but it's eternal peace by division. Peace comes by war. True peace has to be fought for. True peace, there's always a battle. Now, I will say that the Lord Jesus won the war. But where I lose my peace and happiness is usually in amongst the many, many battles that we're in, and you do feel like you lose a lot. Until you rethink it and you find out there's been some victories in those that day also. On Wednesday night, I mentioned to everyone I was 201 and I was 0 and 201. Then I got thinking about some of the battles that were won that day. Come to find out that if there was 201 battles that were lost, thanks to the Lord Jesus, there were 400 that were won. Amen. Y'all get my point? Yeah. Sometimes it's perspective, especially when you're able to set back and you're able to think. You ever make a cake or cookies and you're disappointed in yourself? Mm-hmm. And then you bring it to the preacher and he's glad about your disappointment. Because according to him, your disappointment's better than the store-bought or anything else you ever made. So in other words, if you ever make a mistake in the kitchen, bring it down to the house. Unless it's charbroiled. Look, I can take burnt cookies and make a meal out of them. Have no problem. I know how to crunch them up and put them over ice cream. All right, amen. Listen, beloved, there's eternal peace. There's peace by war. There must be a divider. There must be division. Through salvation by grace, through faith, the Lord Jesus will produce peace in the individual that will believe in him for eternal life. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And those that want to argue about it, And truly, it's nothing but a silly little argument. But boy, when you realize Jesus Christ is the Savior and you need Him, you'll automatically ask Him to forgive you. That's just the fruit of the Holy Spirit working salvation in your life. That's why in Luke chapter 24, He mentions to them, preach repentance. That's why when I go off to the prisons and the jails, hey fellas, let me tell you, the day the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, I knew I needed Him, and I asked Him to forgive me and save me. It's that simple. You know how many people want to argue with me on that? Well, that sounds like works to me. Oh no, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, He had drawn me unto the Father. I had heard the gospel, seen my need of Jesus. Jesus made Himself real in my life, and I understood I need to believe on Him and ask Him to forgive me of my sin. Amen. Now, you can say it however way you want. When you pastor a church and write books and stuff, you go ahead and you describe it all you want. But let me just simplify it in that manner. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior. Amen. Save my soul and forgive me my sin. Amen. Now, I had some Church of Christ boys in Mississippi say, well, yeah, you know, it's more than just a prayer. I said, really? They had come to the office, and one of the fellas, his daughter, I told you the story, is his girl started coming to church and getting, I think she got, if I remember right, she'd gotten saved. Well, the grandpa was kind of upset, so he and his preacher, they came in there, and I said, wait a minute. Why are they confessing their sin going down to the Jordan River to get washed? Aren't they getting their sins forgiven now? What would the washing be for? You ever thought about that? Lord Jesus, forgive me. And by the way, it's that simple. The hardest part about asking to forgive is you admitting that you're wrong. That's right. Anybody in here got a problem admitting they're wrong? Oh, both your arms ought to go up, every one of you. None of us like to admit that we're wrong. Of course, I'm only wrong once an hour. And I married Mrs. Always Right. Hey, beloved, through salvation, there's eternal life. You want division. That's how peace is produced. Peace is not produced at Christmas time, hanging a bunch of lights, putting a present under the tree, wrapping it up, which I do poorly, so I let Miss Jamie do it, and got all these beautiful things going on in our traditions. You do worship me in vain, the Lord Jesus, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men. And at Christmas time, to get the warm fuzzies and to get all super duper ooper spiritual, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, don't you be a Scrooge. And don't you be a Grinch. The Grinch tune just come in my head. I won't sing it for you. Y'all know the song. We want to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer while asking for the peace of God on earth. When in reality, the peace of God on earth ain't nowhere near Rudolph. Peace is only realized through salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other place that it's ever going to happen. Now, I know this morning I'm preaching to the choir. But here's something you need to understand. The Lord Jesus came to divide the child of God from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died to divide the child of God from his flesh, her flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ came to divide the child of God from the world. Now, I will say this, probably one of the greatest lessons I ever had was from Brother Ralph Coleman, Pastor Coleman, Perry, Florida. He told me this many years ago. He said, David, you live in this world. Learn how to live in it. Think about it a second. Now, I could stand here and put all kind of new laws on you. From now on, I just want you to know, you cannot come to this church with anything Michigan Wolverine. Brother Aid had to take his boxers off and his socks off. And throw his wallet out. Take his tie off. And God forbid he come in here without anything, because that's probably all he's got is Wolverine stuff. How about this? And I mentioned this at Daryl's celebration. Hey, Wolverine-itis. And you talk about, I didn't realize how strong a Wolverine fans they were around there. I thought I was going to have to fight a few of them off. But the Bible doesn't say it. We know this. But hey, if you're from Southern Canada, I mean, Uper, you can't be touched to God. Is that not stupid? It's foolishness. That kind of division is of the flesh. To be divided from the world, we ought to be different. By the way, people on this earth that are right with God don't have to cuss up a storm to get their point across. There's the Pat McAfee show that they show on ESPN. And the guys are pretty good guys, but their language is just wicked terrible. I don't care what job you're in. Intelligent people use a good vocabulary. Righteous people use a righteous vocabulary. And unrighteous people use unrighteous, wicked, worldly wording. You know what irritates me? And it doesn't bother me. If people cuss up and fuss and whatnot, it doesn't bother me. That's fine. I have so many of them that do this. And the guys were downstairs. The plumber come in and he said a couple words. And I said, "It's all right, brother. You fine." He said, "Oh, I forgot I was in the church house." I said, "Man, God's everywhere. He hears your language everywhere." Here's what they say. "Well, that's just what normal, common people do, is use that language." No, wicked people use that kind of language. The Lord Jesus came to divide. The world and your flesh are not able to ever produce any true peace. Did y'all hear me? Brother Billy Kelly, the famous preacher out of Greer, South Carolina, used to always say that Budweiser make you Bud dumber. And Southern Comfort does nothing but bring you misery. See, the world wants to think that all these things... By the way, Christian, ice cream and cake will bring you fat cells. And wicked fat cells. Are y'all listening? We want to get everybody else on their sin, but we forget to get on our sin. We forget to get that. And I've had a lot of men upset with me over the years because I've mentioned it to them. And I've been a fat boy. I've told you before, I thought there used to be a weight requirement to be a pastor, and I was going to do everything I could to get there. Brother Billy Kelly's one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. But the problem with Brother Billy Kelly was he was 6'2" and 470 pounds. Loved peanuts and many other things. And we called everything else sin, but we didn't call what we did was sin. There ought to be a division amongst the believer from himself. The world and your flesh are not able to produce true peace. But why is it that we try? How do you try to bring peace in your life? "Oh, this is so precious. Oh, yes. I just know my grandson's going to need this for a Christmas present. Oh, I can't wait to wrap it up and put it under the tree. Yes, I'm going to produce true peace." Let me tell you something about Christmas gifts. It's the dumbest thing you can do. Now, I like Christmas, and I like Christmas trees because usually there's a present under there for me. But people go unglued when it comes to Christmas time, trying to produce a peace that can't be produced but by only through Jesus Christ. Amen. "Well, I want to give gifts. I want to be special." You know what 99.9% of the gifts given at Christmas are for? Your ego. Trying to please everybody. "I want everybody to think I'm special because I did this or that." You know what I got at Christmas this year? I don't even know. What did I get? Oh, plane ticket for tomorrow. That's right. "Leaving on a jet plane. I'll be back next Saturday." That's right. We bought us plane tickets, didn't we? Because Ray and Rachel's driving me crazy. No. I want a vacation away from you. What did you get for Christmas when you were 10 years old? Today, listen, the only real, true gift that there is, the rest of it is not. The only true gift there is salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no other gift that is any better or could ever rival that gift. But boy, the flesh sure tries to do it. I used to try to be Dad of the Year. I'm an idiot. I still try to be Husband of the Year. Hugging and kissing Husband of the Year. Hold her hand, man. Best in the ever been on earth. That is just so, so far from the true peace. And it does nothing but bring misery into your life. I was going to be, and I accomplished it. But I accomplished it with a lot of men and women upset with me. But I was the best printer Pensacola Christian College ever had. But by getting there, I stepped on a lot of people. I couldn't stand my bosses. Of course, they were micromanagers, and their idea of patting you on the back was, I give you a paycheck. Let me tell you what, if you're a boss, you better love on your people. And you better pat them on the back and thank them. And when they do wrong, you kick them in the seat. But I'm telling you, great compassion in whatever you're doing goes a long ways. We try to produce true peace, and then we try to make everybody happy. I'm speaking to a fellow right now that he's got this going on, that going on. Golf is his passion, and has been since he was 5 and 6 years old. And he's got this over here to do, and this over here to do, and this problem, and that problem, and he's put this on himself, and that on himself. And I said to him, dude, look at your plate. You've got the Eiffel Tower. You've got the Sears Tower. You've got the Empire Tower all on one plate. And I said this again, I'm going to. Kenny, I appreciate it. The other day I was making a statement up of serving others is not you forgetting you. If you're going to serve others, you best not forget you. And Kenny says, you know, I got one a little bit better than that. And he did. Don't set yourself on fire to warm everybody else up. Now, I'm not giving you the credit for it because that comes from me, you know. I'm just kidding. That was one of, I didn't know he was that intelligent. For a moment, I didn't think he was a Mills. I thought he was a Garver. Hey, beloved. You can't make everybody happy and you're a fool trying. Oh, amen. Well, I got to spend some money. I got to get a birthday present. We're dealing with that. Jamie and I are his grandparents. We're the boring grandparents. They need a new pair of shoes? No problem. Oh, they need new underwear? No problem. Not so on the other side. That is absolute wickedness. But we won't call it that. Why? Because it brings division. I've been told in my family circle, and Jamie's been standing there, David, now you just need to keep stuff to yourself. I don't want any problems. Matter of fact, my own mother-in-law threw her cell phone at me years ago, mad as a hornet at me, and yelled and said, you're destroying this family. Because I did what? Bring division because of truth. My dad and I had problems. There was a lot of times Dad didn't go on Sunday night, and I remember in high school, even, Dad, won't you come to church with me tonight? Nah, boy, I got to go to work. Well, Dad, thank you for going to work, but I thought this was your night off. Division. My brothers, I love them dearly, but there's been division there. While we were at home this last time, you know my strong stand on the King James Bible? Well, my brother Chris said he just got a new preacher, and he uses all kind of other versions. I said, that is a scourge on the church. There, by the way, there are some battles that are worth fighting. And you ought to have the guts and the courage to fight those battles. And they have so the battle is begun on your knees asking God for the same mercy and grace that he shows you and I. See, that's the problem I have. I want to fight the battle. Look, I push the nuclear button. And God says, no, we don't need nuclear weapons to win this battle. Matter of fact, I've read in the back of the book, and it tells me that without a fire being shot, the Lord Jesus has already won the Battle of Armageddon. You mean we don't get to shoot a bow and arrow? I don't get to shoot a gun or push a button and have a missile drop? Nope. The Bible says the Lord Jesus wins it with his tongue in his mouth. Man. Well, let me say this in this passage. He mentions in this passage a division. Verse 52, from henceforth there shall be five in the house divided, three against two and two against three. That's probably the hardest thing in the ministry that Jamie and I have had to deal with. Is division from my own family members. I tell you, another hard struggle has been division from the church members. Shh, here comes the preacher. Shh, here comes David and Jamie. Jamie, at one point, would get on me about shrinking to the back of the room whenever we were home. Until she understood that it wasn't David moving to the back of the room. It was everybody else pushing David out. I would say something. Paul would come up and ask me a question, Paul Davila, and I'd give him an answer. He said one time, he says, well, you talk about grace and mercy. Are all Baptists Calvinists? I said, absolutely not. All Presbyterians are. John Calvin was wrong on lots and lots and lots of things. You know, John Calvin had people killed because they didn't believe like he did. You do realize that. John Calvin believed in some pretty wicked doctrine. And I won't go into detail. So did Martin Luther. Both of them still baptized infants. There's no Bible for that. This division came along and it breaks my heart when I go home. Because nobody wants to hear from me. And I've got the truth. Please understand. I know, and David he has these areas that he needs worked on. And there may be some areas, I know for sure there's a few areas that he's got wrong. But I can tell you now, of the main doctrines of Scripture, we're solid on them. God is God and I am not. He is self-sufficient and I need Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ died and arose again, shed His blood for me. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. When you're saved by Him, you're eternally secure. He is the Creator. God made male and female. And a man ought to be married to a woman and a woman to a man. Preacher can never be a woman according to the Scriptures. Am I doing all right when it comes to doctrine? God's Word is the King James Bible only. Amen. Let's see some other fabulous doctrine. By the way, Brother Phil and those who are watching, I am not a theologian. And I'm not a scholar. I'm just an old bus brat trying to learn the Bible. That's all I am. There's division and it breaks your heart. Because you got the answer and nobody will listen to you. You know how I feel. You got family members that'll say to you, you go to church too much. You read your Bible too much. You pray too much. Amen. And they don't understand as you and I don't, we don't study our Bible enough. We don't pray enough. Well, by fire is this division accomplished. The sacrificial fire is in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for sin. Y'all listening? He mentions this fire kindled. The greatest divider is fire. The sacrificial fire, no one else is able to fully appease the wrath of God on sin. What is the wrath of God in eternity past? Does anybody know? It's the same wrath that's in eternity present that's going to be in the eternity future. We see it greatly, and we're going to get to it in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. Beloved, whether you can't close your eyes and make hell disappear. You can't see me. And that's what people do. Hell's not real. But when you wind up there, you're like the rich man and in torment, begging for a drop of water. No one else can appease the wrath of God. Only the Lord Jesus can. In this fire, this division is accomplished. Only the Lord Jesus is able to fully appease this wrath. Not only is there a sacrificial fire that brings division, but there's also a refining fire. This refining fire is for the believer in the Lord Jesus from sin. The sacrificial fire is a sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for sin. This refining fire is for the believer in the Lord Jesus from sin. The believer is refined by the Holy Spirit burning the dross away. Whew. Y'all been through times in your life it just seemed like the heat gets turned up? Pastor Charlie, I'd call him and I'd say, hey, preacher. He said, David, why have I been asking the Lord to turn the fire up? Preacher, is there any way you could ask God to turn the fire down? Y'all ever feel like the fire's up? You jump from one pan to the next pan? It seems like there's always a constant fire. Well, it's a refining fire. Are you listening? It's a refining fire. He's trying to make you more precious than of gold. He's trying to perfect you. The refining fire purges the believer daily. That's why there's division. Well, there's the judgment fire. It's for the unbeliever because of sin. So in this division and in this fire, this kindled fire, judgment fire is for the believer, unbeliever, because of sin. So the sacrificial fire of the Lord Jesus is for sin. The refining fire is for the believer from sin. And now the judgment fire is for the believer because unbeliever because of sin. Anyone who rejects the Lord Jesus will burn for eternity. That's a point blank statement. You can't fudge around the Word of God. You can't beat around the bush. The truth of the matter is, listen, beloved, this is why you ought to get concerned about souls that you see rather than griping about them, rather than being irritated by them. You ought to understand they're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. They'll either burn for all eternity or they'll have eternal peace. True peace. See, this judgment, it separates the unbeliever from the Lord Jesus forever. I've heard preachers say, well, the worst part about the condemnation of God is for all eternity they'll be separated from God. Well, there's some truth in that. But something tells me being eternally on fire is no bed of roses. Y'all listen? Separation from God. Now, I understand. I don't know what I would do without the Lord Jesus watching over me. How many times has He watched over me and I didn't even know He was watching over me? Amen. June of 1986, I met my bride. I didn't know He was looking out for me. I was just a dumb 16-year-old kid. The only thing different now is that I'm 55 and dumb. Kevin, are y'all with me? I didn't want looking for no wife. I just had a girlfriend named Crystal that I just, you know, and just was, and I knew at camp, Michelle shoots this one. I'm just kidding. And Joy would be there. And I'm thinking, maybe one of these girls at camp. I wasn't looking for no girlfriend. And Scott and I, we had been, I'd been running with Scott Randolph, and one of my good friends. And we went down and got some, you know how they had the discounted meat sometimes? He and I went and got a couple steaks, and we put it out on the grill, and he and I are out there at the campfire. And that next day, I got to meet Jamie. I wasn't looking for no wife. The Lord Jesus was looking out for me when I didn't even know He was looking out. That'll bless your heart, friend. That's where peace comes from. Amen. That's where you're asking for division. So that you can see Him and glorify Him rather than trying to seek peace in a crazy, weird, different way. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Matthias down to the golf ball house, and he and I are going to do a little bit of work, and ooh, I'm going to be Grandpa of the Year. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let him pick out a golf ball to bring home. There's no reason. He's got probably 2,000 golf balls at the house. And his daddy's probably going to kill me. Daddy don't need, I hear David now, Dad, he don't need another golf ball. But I'm doing it because I want to be Grandpa of the Year and have peace in my heart. You know how long that type of peace lasts? About that fast. But let me tell you about the peace of God. By persecution, the believer is purged. He's refined and separated from sin. See, this is complete division. This is complete separation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's true peace. Did you all hear me? Now, I understand you can get a little bit of peace from a Coke Zero. Little Debbie, oatmeal cream pie. The problem with that kind of peace is it goes onto your body. It's fat. Oh, and in my case, rippling muscle. But let me tell you about the peace that little Debbie brings. It lasts the twinkling of an eye type of thing. Oh, but this complete division and this complete separation that the Lord Jesus brings. Righteous peace. The Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus, the believer is given righteous peace forever. What kind of peace do you get from others? Well, generally it's not righteous. And I guarantee it ain't forever. Do you ever feel good when the person you've been battling with is now at peace with you? Yeah, but how many times is that peace short-lived? Not this kind of peace. This kind of peace is not only righteous, but it's forever. You need peace by division. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ give us this kind of peace. And it's going to take some fire. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some things. You're going to lose friends. But I guarantee you, you'll gain a friend in the Lord Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus, this peace by division, the believer is given a holy peace forever. Wait a minute, you just said righteous. I did. Well, then why are you using the word holy? Remember the difference between holy and righteousness? Holiness is God without sin. That's right. Righteousness is God's holiness in action. So, not only do I have a peace that's active, but I got a peace that is always without sin.
That's right.
Let that grab hold of you. Then lastly, and I'm done, the Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus, the believer is given true peace forever. Amen. Stop trying to find peace in everywhere else but the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the word, and I pray it's been a help to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. If God's dealing with your heart, at this invitation time, would you come? Let's stand to our feet as you're able. I know you may be stiff and tired, having sat there a little bit. But if you're able to stand, stand with me, and if the Lord Jesus is dealing with your heart, let Him. Don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. Let Him fix your attitude. Let Him fix your heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you let Him save your soul? So you might understand the peace that passeth all understanding. Come as the Lord directs you.